Should take that one. Tonight and so thankful for all that you've done for us, dear Father, and you are doing. You can see your hand in it all. God, I thank you for those that are here tonight. Pray that you might bless our service, and God, bless the reading and preaching of your word. I do pray for those that are in need of your intervention, your healing. Pray for that preacher from the man camp that had a serious accident, that you might be with him. And God, be with those in our church that still need your healing and your touch, that you're even sick tonight, that you might raise them up. But bless our service tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, we do have a close. Let's all stand. We'll turn to 377 Rescue Parish. 377.
Excited. Our chairs are going to be here Friday.
Woo-hoo!
270 chairs, and our carpet is coming Saturday.
Hey.
And then been praying about want a pulpit made, and talked to the first guy, and he does it basically for free in Arkansas. And I said, told him kind of what I wanted, and I said, so when could you get to it? He said, well, probably the fall. He said, I'm working on one now, and then I got two more. And I'm like, that's not going to work. So I called Matt Miller, and I said, because I knew he went through a remodel, I said, did you have somebody build your pulpit? He said, yes, I'll give you the phone number. So I called this guy, or texted this guy, told him what I wanted. And he sent me a text back that said the pulpit would be about $7,000 to $10,000.
Oh,
and the communion table would be about $3,500. And I said, well, let me get back with you. And so I'm like, wow, they just have to paint the old one. But the missionary that we're going to have Sunday night, he used to be the youth director at Ark City, Hillcrest Bible Baptist Church. And I think that was 7 years ago. That's where he is tonight. And he'll be with Brother Haley Sunday morning. He'll be with us Sunday night. And he came over with Brother Haley, I think it was yesterday. And he said, do you remember me? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you saw me 7 years ago. I said, I can't remember what I did last week. It was the last 7 years ago. And I said, no, I don't. He said, well, I don't remember you and everything. And so we were talking, and he says, I build pulpits. Yeah. Really? And so I showed him what he wanted and everything, and I sent him the text, and he called me back today, and he said, I can do that. I'm not doing anything Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And he said, the materials are probably about $500 to $600. So, soul, do it. Amen. Get busy. So, I think he's going to...
5 to 6,000 and it costs 500.
He said it's all about basically supply and demand. You can't go to Walmart and buy a pulpit.
Yeah.
And I don't even think he can get one on Amazon. But anyway, but a lot of it is labor and stuff, and they want to... Anyway, so I'm excited about that, and he's going to do that, so... Man, I'm really, really excited. So this week, we still have to finish some things in there. And we got somebody come by and look at the stage this today, platform. But he wants $1,200 to buff it out and to put the sealer on it and the, not the primer, the clear coat. And that's a lot of money. But anyway, we're still, he can't get to it till next Tuesday anyway. So, but tomorrow, we are going to try to encapsulate the four ourselves and do some other things. So if you'd like to come help us, then Friday morning, the driver said he's going to be here at 8 o'clock with those chairs. We've got a forklift rented. It should be here by 9. So we'll probably put them in here. And then the carpet's supposed to come anywhere from 10 to 2. So 6,000 square feet of carpet. So anyway, so if you would like to help, I'm pretty sure that... See, now you are. Let's sing that song again. Word.
Yeah.
That's Max already hurt. But thank you for your prayers. And Brother Corn came the other night. I helped. And he said, when I came here Sunday, he said, man, that's a good Sunday. But he said, Lord, put upon my heart to come help you guys on Monday. And then I took him out to eat afterwards. He said, man, you met a lot of people. And I said, well, our people like to work. And he goes, I was surprised. I didn't think that many would come. So I appreciate him. And but he was a help too. So, but that's exciting week. And we may not have everything done, or we won't have everything done. But looking forward to that. But Saturday morning, we probably still will have visitation, Operation Saturation in the morning. And then probably be working in the afternoon, try to get some things done. But hopefully Sunday we can be in the auditorium with the new chairs. Hopefully we get enough done and get some of the carpet in. But it's exciting. It's exciting. And the Lord is blessed. And I'm excited. I don't care about you. I'm excited. All the work that's been done, I appreciate it. Yes, ma'am.
What color is that carpet? You'll find out.
Now this right here, I can't explain it. It's not polka dot.
One of the colors.
K-State purple.
There we go.
No. KU blue.
Need more? It's 25. Yeah, the carpet is 24 by 24. That's why we think once we encapsulate it, then you roll out the pressure sensitive glue. And then once you get a straight line, then you can go to town. You have to start from the center and work your way out. But we think we can do that because they wanted $16,000 to prep the floor and lay the carpet. And I think the carpet bill was $11,000. And that's 6,000 square feet, so that'll do the sanctuary, the foyer, the classroom on the wing on this side, and some on that side. And so, but that'll do some of that. But anyway, so that'll save us some money if we can do that. So anyway, but if you can help, that would be great. So, and then Sunday, looking forward to that. And then we will have some more information about our anniversary Sunday. Getting excited about that. Talked to Brother Stowe. He's excited about coming. Judy Paget's coming. So we're just going to rejoice in what God has done with Bethel the last 70 years and looking for 70 years more. So some of us will only be 120. So, I guess, are we going to take an offering? I'm going to take an offering. Where's my ushers? Okay. Well, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll have the offering. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, your Father, and providing for the roof and providing for the remodel so far. And God, I pray that you might bless. God, we've asked your mind on things. We've asked your help. God, we don't want to just do it what we think. But God, I believe you guided and directed us. And thank you for the way that we will get our chairs and our carpet in a timely manner and be able to get it in before our anniversary service. And God, we just thank you for our dear people and have a mind to work and support and give and pray. And God, I just pray that you might continue to be with our church and our dear people. Bless the service tonight. Bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let's stand one last time. Turn to page 192. Ring the bells of heaven. Page 192. Well, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians was written to what church?
Corinth.
Church of Corinth. Was the Church of Corinth a perfect church or a opposite from a perfect church?
Opposite.
Had a lot of problems. And that's why God wrote the book of, gave them 1 Corinthians to work out some problems that they had in the church. So the Church of Corinth had problems. Do you think churches today have problems?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because none of us are in our glorified body. Now, if we were in our glorified body, none of us would have any problems. But guess what? You're sitting next to a sinner. And you're sitting behind a sinner, in front of a sinner, and sinners in front of you. Joel is simply not sitting next to a sinner. Not sitting by anybody. Anyway, seriously, none of your church has problems. Every church has problems. Because we are not in our glorified body. We're sinners saved by grace. Praise the Lord. And so I believe, and God gave us the Word of God. So the churches will have problems, but God gave us the Word of God, just like this church, to help them with their problems. And in chapter number 1, he talks to them. He says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, and to the church of what? Church of God. Guess what? This is not my church. It's not your church. Well, I gave a lot of money to this church. It's still not your church. It's still not my church. This is the Church of God. And that's the great thing. That what we're doing is not going to
really reflect us, it's going to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we want to make it look as great as we can, and nice as we can, because this is the church of the living God. There was a preacher's wife that several years ago, her husband died, and she took over the building and then was renting it out and sold it. I'm like, who made you, if I were to die, my wife's just a church member. And so the church doesn't belong to us. It's not the Slope Church. This is not your church. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it, and the church of God, which is at Corinth. Then he says, verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. What's the next word?
And
from who?
Lord Jesus Christ.
Those that say, well, you know, there's only one God. Well, he said the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I said, if you don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible, you cannot be saved.
Amen.
There's a holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And all the way through there, there's the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm thankful that this church belongs to God and we get to be a part of it. But I want to look at some things about wisdom tonight. Basically, not living a dog's life. I don't want to live a dog's life. Well, sometimes I go, I wish I had a dog's life. I wish I had a cat's life. All you do is lay there and sleep, get up and eat, prowl, go back to bed, rub on somebody's leg. So anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. God, for your blessings. God, for your wisdom, for your instruction, for your commandments. God, for your love for us. God, I'm so thankful that we get to be a part of your church tonight. And God, we've seen a lot of work already done, and many hands make light work. And God, they've worked, they've given, they've supported. God, I pray that we might be able to finish it out, and that it might be a testimony of the great God that we serve. So thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here, but then we see down in verse number 10, or verse 9, God is what?
Faithful.
God is what?
Faithful.
Aren't you glad?
Amen.
I'm glad the sun came up this morning. It's warmer. Have you guys seen the forecast for next week?
Yes.
Snow.
Seriously, snow. Three or four different days, snow. And I'm like, what? And I know it's first week in March, but it's great. Snow. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Verse number 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Amen. So there was problems, like Brother Corn talked about the other night, down here in verse 12. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. I was saved, I was under him. And he says in verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Any of you saved in the name of Paul? No. You were all saved by the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
When I went to Meeker, somebody told me, this church was part of the BBF for many, many years. But it's kind of, we're not a BBF church. Anybody wants to know, we're an independent premillennial Baptist church. And they said, well, if you go on the other side of the continental divide, there are no BBF churches. I'm like, oh no. And I can't fellowship with anybody. There's no Baptist. But then I got Brother Matt Miller was one I met. Brother Whiston, Brother Barleman, a lot of good guys that were independent premillennial Baptists just like me. They didn't graduate from BBC, but they graduated from other places. And hey, it was great. Because we weren't, that wasn't our first question. Where'd you graduate from? I can understand KU and K-State. I can understand that. But we're all part of the same team. So there was divisions. But look down at verse number 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory what?
In the Lord.
In the Lord. Well, you know, I'm a this. No. We ought to glory in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, I can do this and I can do that. Doesn't matter. We ought to glory in the Lord. That no flesh should get the glory. No, none of us are any better than anybody else. We're all same of the same flesh, of the same blood. We're all sinners saved by grace. And he says, if you're going to glory, then glory in the Lord. But I want to talk about wisdom. Talk about a dog's life. What does a dog need to be happy?
Food.
Number one, food. What else?
Water,
bones.
Okay.
Love.
Okay. Food. And water. You said a couch. You got to have some shelter, some, you know, good place. What else? What did you say? Somebody said it.
Water.
Okay. Affection. What? Huh?
An owner.
Okay. What's number four? Got to have food, got to have a place to stay, got to have affection, but what's the fourth thing?
A friend we need to chase.
Okay, all right.
A tour.
Yeah. Accomplishment. We have a golden retriever, and you take a frisbee or a ball, and you, and man, he heads out there, and he comes back, you know, and you go, good boy, Joseph. Cooper, good boy, Cooper, and then he'll do it again because there's a sense of hey, I pleased you. But what else is there? There's no spirit in him that connects with the Heavenly Father, and he's perfectly happy. You say a dog is a man's best friend. How do you know? Put your wife in the trunk for 2 weeks, put your dog and open it up and see which one's going to love you. Not your wife, I guarantee you. But the dog will wag his tail, lick your face, and you guys are okay. Anyway, but that's all there is. That's all there is. That's all he needs. And he feels fulfilled. He feels, we got a golden retriever. You give him love, you give him food, you give him affection, you give him a purpose. Man, he's just a happy camper. Happy dog. But we that are saved, we that are God's humans are God's highest creation. And we have access, we have communication with our Creator.
Right.
Now, I know my daughter says cats and stuff, but you know, they're mainly materialistic. You know, what they can get, what they can enjoy. But you and I, we can avoid that by knowing the wisdom of the Lord. That's what I want to look at this morning, the wisdom of the Lord. There's a difference between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. Wisdom of man is your thought, your philosophy, and isn't the philosophy of this world upside down?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy what people think. It's crazy what, you know, they said about the minimum wage. I was listening to that, and they said, well, somebody wants to raise it to $16 an hour. But if you raise the minimum wage to $16 an hour, your Big Macs will be $25 an hour. Ask any business owner. You want it to go up to $16? And the guy said, it's just a political maneuver to get votes. Then he said, well, and another guy proposed that there be no property tax.
Oh, yeah, I'm for that.
Okay, they're going to get that tax somewhere. You want to pay it in sales tax? I mean, it's just crazy, the thinking that we have. But God's wisdom is completely opposite from human wisdom. And God can give us wisdom. He gives us wisdom for salvation. Praise the Lord. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says in verse number 16, says, or 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. First of all, you got to have the wisdom to be saved. You got to understand salvation. And because the wisdom of God is not a sight, it's not a understanding type of wisdom, but we're kind of trained that way. I don't mess with electricity because I don't understand it. I like to go over there and flip the thing and it comes on. But I'm not going to take for the Wolfhound a live, did you take care of that? Okay. He found a live receptacle where right in front of the pulpit. I'm not going to go around with my little screwdriver and see if it's hot. I'm not going to do that. But you gotta understand it. Man, I got to understand it. I got to see it. It got to make sense. The just shall live by what? The saved are going to live by. You can't see God. You can't see heaven. You can't see hell. You have to place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. Look here in verse number 5. James chapter number 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him look up it. Let him ask Siri, right? Let him look on YouTube and you can find anything. No. Let him ask of God that giveth to how many men? All men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Aren't you thankful for that? Man, God gives us his wisdom. But there is a difference. Look at James chapter 3. Look at verse number 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above. So there is a wisdom that is not of God. And it says, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. What's going on with this world? If you disagree with somebody, I mean about abortion or anything else, they're ready to clean your plow. I mean, aren't you entitled to your opinion just like they're entitled to their opinion? But yet, that's not the wisdom that's from above. That's the wisdom from the devil. Look at verse 15. Or verse 16, I'm sorry. Verse 17. Verse 18. No, verse 17. Are you ready? No, verse 7. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Then what? What's the second thing?
Peaceable.
Gentle. Easy to be entreated. Full of what?
Mercy.
And? Without partiality and without hypocrisy. So this, hey, I'm right and you're wrong and I'm superior than you and I'm gonna destroy you. That's not the wisdom from above.
Right.
Because the wisdom from above is full of mercy, peaceable, gentle. And that's why one preacher says, well, when you preach, you need to put it in your people's face. You need to make sure they do it. Like, is that my job? That's not my job. My job is to tell you what the God says, and then it's in your life. It's in your life. I can't make anybody do anything. And Jesus didn't either. He had a devil in his inner group, Judas Iscariot. And that shows the love and compassion and of God. But yet he didn't make him do anything. So there is a wisdom from above, and there is a wisdom from the other side. So where do we get the wisdom of God? And that's what I look at. Here in chapter number 1, it says in verse number 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Everybody thinks they know. Everybody thinks they can prove. I mean, they're teaching in public schools the theory of evolution. Yeah. Hello? And the lady years ago, well, I believe in theistic evolution.
Huh?
You believe God had control over the bang. Why don't you just believe in the Bible that says God created the heavens and the earth? And that's pretty simple. And nobody was here when it happened except for God, and he wrote it down for us. Amen.
Yeah.
And so how do we get, and he says, have not God made foolishness the wisdom of man? Verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what?
Believe.
Believe. You say, well, you're preaching foolishness. Well, then it's biblical. Amen.
Amen.
So how do we get the wisdom of God? You need the wisdom of God. And there's so many voices. Went to the youth rally the other night, was talking about, think about our teenagers. In my day and age, we didn't have a smartphone. Couldn't ask Siri questions. But they have so many voices, so many influences. And are they all godly and right and say, look in your Bible? No, they say, hey, follow us. We'll tell you how to do it. We'll show you what to do. Those are wrong voices. So how do you get God's wisdom? So chapter number 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the what?
Testimony
of God. Where do you find the testimony of God? In your Bible. You have a copy of the testimony of God in your lap, hopefully. And I hope you read it, hope you study it, hope you understand it, because you cannot know, you cannot have the wisdom of God without having the Word of God.
Amen.
And you must have the King James Bible. Well, why can't I have an NIV? That young lady, and I said, I have a test that you can take and give it to you, and you can look up these scriptures in the NIV and in the King James, and you will not find them in the NIV because they take those little verses out. They're so smart that they're going to take out things out of God's Bible. We need to have the testimony of God, the Bible. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. The Word of God is powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. The Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. There's a difference between the soul and the spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and what?
Intents.
Nobody knows your intentions.
Yeah.
Everybody can hear what you say. Nobody knows what you're thinking. I've been married for 30 years. My wife will sometimes say, I know that look. What are you up to? Nothing. No. You know, me and Joseph will walk in, she'll look at both of us. What are you guys up to? Nothing. Nothing. I've been married to you long enough. Sometimes she's right. Sometimes she's wrong. She does not know. She does not know. She doesn't understand. She doesn't know. She's not God. A lot. A woman's intuition, you know. The other night, I was like, are you okay? Yeah. No, something wrong. What's wrong? Tell me. I said, no, I'm fine. I'm just tired. Okay, honey, what's wrong?
Nothing.
The thoughts and intents of the heart. That's how powerful God's Word is. Look at Psalms chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19, a wonderful chapter on the Word of God. Psalm 19 and verse number 7. The Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony, here it is, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I'm so glad I have the Bible. I'm so glad I'm smarter than the Harvard, most of the Harvard guys, most of the Princeton guys, most of those guys that try to figure out everything by themselves and don't believe and place their faith and trust in God. I'm telling you, this makes the wise, makes the simple wise. So you cannot have God's wisdom without the Word of God. Number 2, look down in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 10. Well, let's look at verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's exciting.
Amen.
How can you see what God has for you If you're going to, on your own wisdom, well, I can't see it. I can't understand it. There's no way. I have not seen. Ears have not heard. Neither entered into the heart of man. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place.
Amen.
And the Christian, we get so discouraged and so overcome. There's no reason for that. Man, we're going to go into a place called heaven, a home in the new city of Jerusalem where we will spend an eternity with our Creator. Somebody that loves us, somebody that's been, when we got saved, He puts the Holy Spirit of God inside us and will never leave us nor forsake us. And so, how can we see that? By the testimony of God. How do you know there's a hell? Testimony of God. How do you know there are angels? Testimony of God. How do you know how to raise your children and what to do with your finances and stretch your home? The testimony of God. Praise the Lord. It's not following me, following some preacher, following some doctrine. It's following the Word of God. Then number two, it says in verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by what?
His
Spirit. His Spirit. Not some religion, not some man on the radio. It's amazing. It's amazing. Brother Corn and I were talking the other night and how preachers, they can kind of just head off on this road and head down that road. And he goes, how did they get that? How did they get there? Because they depart really from the Word of God. They start listening to somebody and listening to their teaching. And guess what? Even if a man is right, he may not be right on everything except for what he says in the Word of God. Like, I know I'm right on Fords. there are people that disagree with me. And I know I'm right on Milwaukee Tools. I know I'm right. But there are people that disagree. But I'm telling you, that's just, well, I'm going to go down this road, and then their preachers don't even believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm like, it's in the Word of God. The rapture is the next thing on God's timetable. You better be ready. But it's because they've listened to this teaching and this teaching. One preacher got up in a preacher meeting and said, the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit are two different people. And I'm like, there's a holy quartet? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost. No, the Holy Ghost came upon men in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit, same person, indwells the believer in the New Testament. And he made fun of us preachers. He said, you preachers, go check it out. And all this. And I'm like, okay, but I mean, seriously, and I felt like, well, I better go check it out. But I don't see any difference. I think there's a God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But the wisdom, but hath His Spirit, for the Spirit searches how many things? All things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit, capital S, of God. You're not going to be able to figure it out. It's not going to be from your upbringing, from the person you follow, from your teaching, from your Christian school. No, it's revealed to us by His Spirit. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. There's a word I really love in that verse. What is it?
Freely.
Freely. Given us all, given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So who's our teacher? It's not some God person on the internet. Not some person on the radio, is the Spirit of God. Amen. Holy Spirit of God, which resides in your body. In fact, look at John chapter 16, or John chapter 14 and verse 26. John chapter 14 and verse 26. The Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto thee. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Aren't you glad you have somebody that's going to remind us of what God says? And that's why the Bible, the testimony of God, is so important. I think the Holy Spirit reveals to us what His will is. Do we ever ask Him? I mean, most of the time we just get up and we start going. Instead of saying, God, what would you have me to do? What should I do today? I won't ask you to raise your hand. How many of you asked God what you should wear this morning? I didn't. But what does the Bible say? In a few things, acknowledge Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Well, that's pretty minute. Well, do you think God knows what's going to take place today? He already knows what's going to take place in my life today. Do I know? I don't know. But we ought to acknowledge Him. You got to say, God, what do you want? Well, does He tell you? Not with an audible voice. But sometimes, just like my wife, she calls it a woman's intuition. Sometimes she'll go, that's not right. There was a girl in Beeville Youth Department, and my wife said, you need to stay away from her. And I'm like, what? She's friendly. She goes, that's the problem. Yeah. And it wasn't just jealousy. She knew there was something about it that she said, you need to stay away. And I'm thankful for that. That was my Holy Spirit. Amen. But the Holy Spirit, in decisions, why don't we just ask Him? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We asked the Lord, we prayed about it. My wife helped me with carpet and stuff. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, Lord, please just make it very evident. And we said, okay, this is the one, and let's do it. And I think it will go with everything. That was last week around Monday, Tuesday. It said, oh, plenty. And then they called Friday and said, the meal doesn't have that much. And so they'll be making it the next 2 weeks, and we'll ship out, and then who knows when you'll get it. Well, we took it, and like, okay, God, that's not your will. He made that very clear. That's not the one we had. And we, because I believe God works, God moves, and seriously, we're like, God, we want your mind. We don't just want what we want or what we think. We want what you want. And He shut that down. Tell my wife, several of you, look at a carpet and stuff. It's kind of like when you go to the fair and they have the cologne and they spray this, smell this, and this one. Well, by the third one, after that, they all smell the same. Anyway, you know. So carpet, we're like, that's all the same. Anyway, but ask God, what would you have? The Holy Spirit reveals the mind of God. And He'll tell us. He'll teach us. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. Quick, Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Well, I want to ask the Lord, but you know, I've got some knowledge. I've got some understanding. You know, knowledge is the facts. Understanding is the comprehension of those facts. But I think wisdom is the proper use of the facts and of understanding. That's what wisdom is. And that wisdom doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from man. It says that the wisdom comes from out of the mouth of God. And so we can understand and we can comprehend, and then we can apply that to our life. So with the testimony of God and the Holy Spirit, and then the last one, easy to understand here. It says in verse number 14, or verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Brother Rowe, do you understand everything in the Bible? How old are you?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been saved?
58 years.
And you still don't understand everything in the Bible? Okay. Mm-hmm. Brother Moyer, do you ever understand everything in the Bible?
No.
You got a doctor's degree. Yeah. Brother Gore, do you understand everything in the Bible?
No, sir.
Brother Grissom, do you understand everything in the Bible? Lori does, but you don't. Lori, he was gone. None of us. In fact, one scripture I can take you to my office and give you three commentaries, and they'll tell you three different meanings of that verse. So which one's right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, no. I know what it's not. That's not right. That's not right. So what do we? So what do, preacher? You compare scripture with scripture.
Right.
You may not understand that passage, but the Word of God cannot contradict itself.
Amen.
God does not say one thing like salvation is by grace through faith, and then over here, well, I got to do it by works. That's contradicting himself. That's not what the Bible says. And just because you don't understand this passage of Scripture, look at all the other Scriptures that talk about that subject, and you can. There's hundreds of Scriptures that says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."
Right.
Oh yeah, but you got to be baptized. Well, there are nine Scriptures that remotely add baptism to salvation, but you got to look in the context, and you may not understand those nine, but you can understand the hundreds that say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."
Right.
So you got to compare Scripture with Scripture. Lastly, look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what?
Foolishness.
Neither can he know them, because they are
spiritual.
Never had anybody that says, "Why in the world do you go to church? Why in the world do you read that Bible? Why in the world do you do this?" They don't get it.
Right.
And several times I've given the gospel. And you go, you know, are you 100% sure if you die you go to heaven? No. Okay, would you like, could I show you? Sure. So you get down through there, and then they say, "Oh, I've been baptized." I didn't mention baptism at all.
Yeah.
You understand. Oh, yeah, well, and then, oh, well, I've done that many times. No, you don't understand. No, and they don't get it.
Yeah.
And you're like, why don't they get it? It's pretty easy.
Right.
Because the natural man doesn't get it. Because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit living inside of him. He doesn't have that teacher. You and I were natural. I mean, we were naturally born into this world. And all of us started there, but hopefully you're saved. You became, there's only three types of people in the world that's found here: the natural, the carnal, and the spiritual. The natural is a lost man. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God inside him. He can't understand. He picks up this Bible and he tries to understand this Bible, and you know, that's why they say, "Well, prove to me there's a God." I can't prove to you there's a God. Well, I've asked God to strike me dead if there's a God. That shows there's not a God. No. That shows your stupidity, number one. But number two, it shows the graciousness and love and kindness of Almighty God, not killing him. But he can't. Because the things in this Bible are spiritually discerned. And if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. A lost man does not have the Spirit of God living inside of him. So how do you get the Holy Spirit? Yabba dabba doo, yabba doo. How do you get the Holy Spirit? When do you get the Holy Spirit? You get saved. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in to live inside. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. This church is not it doesn't hold the Holy Spirit. Your body does. He lives, God Almighty, in the third person of the Trinity, lives inside your body. Goes everywhere you go. And is right there. And you can pray, and he can lead and guide and direct you. But the natural man for they are spiritually discerned. But verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, makes a decision, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Is there anybody that can instruct the Lord? Absolutely not. He's the teacher. There's a lot of kids that think they can instruct the teacher. They may be able to do it here, but they can't do it with the Lord. A lot of people know what they self-diagnose themselves, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. Well, he probably knows more than they do.
Yeah.
Probably. With all his education. But yet they think, oh, I can instruct him. That's why I'll just instruct. No, nobody can instruct the Lord. But verse 16. But we have the what?
Mind.
The mind of Christ. That's what I want to leave you with. I have the mind of Christ. If I have the mind of Christ, I have wisdom.
Amen.
So what is the mind of Christ? Right here. Encased in these, in this, that narrow, is the mind of Christ. What do you think about eternity? Well, God said it's forever. There is life after death. How do you know? That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
I know the mind of God. How did we get here? A monkey? You know, that's mom's side of faith. I got here because God created us. God breathed into my nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul. How do you know? That's what the Bible says. How do you know there was a big flood? Because I've been to Kentucky and saw this ark and read all the stuff inside there. Well, praise the Lord, it has scripture. But this is how I know there was a worldwide flood.
Yeah.
Even Exploration Place said, Kansas was covered with water billions and billions and billions and billions of years ago. They're smart. Yeah, they know. They already know what. They already know what the Bible says. Well, how do you know? Because the Bible says so. So I have the mind of Christ. And when you have the mind of Christ, this is wisdom. Instead of saying, well, I think. When you talk to somebody, well, I think. Okay, we're right there. Probably going to be wrong. But the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Way to get the mind of Christ, you got to have the testimony. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you by His Spirit. And then, and really, the last one should have been the first one. You got to be saved. You got to be saved. The natural man, he doesn't get it. Don't get upset with people that you just say, they just don't get it. They just don't understand. They want you to prove it to them. They got to understand it. They got to put it all together. No. Just place your faith and trust in God and in His Bible. And say, this is the mind of God. I got to put the mind of God in here and in here. And then the Holy Spirit will help me. Holy Spirit will guide and direct me. You know, I mean, does the Bible say that you ought to own a certain car? Well, it doesn't say that, but there's cars that he says you should not own. We won't go deep into that because that's deep in the Greek.
I'm not wrong yet.
Yeah, Jesus is going to Chevy because he walked everywhere he went. But to know the mind of God. And this group right here, I believe all of you are saved. Hope you know you're saved. You're smarter than 95% of this world out here that think they know, that have a degree, that have been taught by somebody and a professor. I remember Brother Page saying when he went to KU way back there, trying to get him to believe in things that weren't in the Bible. And he's like, that's not found in the Bible. Know, have the wisdom of God. Your Heavenly Father, God, I come before you tonight. God, I thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you that we can have the mind of Christ. We can have wisdom. You said for wisdom for salvation. Praise the Lord. We had to understand it. God, you had to convict our hearts. We had to believe and place our faith and trust in you. And then, God, I believe you give us wisdom for this life. What we should do, what we shouldn't do, what we should believe. God, I thank you for our church. God, I thank you for these dear people. I love them so much. God, you've been so good to all of us, given us salvation, given us eternal life, but given us a Bible that we can have the wisdom of God because this Bible is your mind. So continue to help us and bless us. Help us to be a testimony and a witness everywhere we go that we might be able to impart the good news of the gospel in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, take a few requests tonight. None. There was a man, Man Camp, I don't know his name, but he was in a serious car accident. And he doesn't remember what happened, but he's I think it's life-threatening, but on the app for the Man Camp, it said, please pray for this preacher. And then continue to pray for our remodel that we can be able to get things tied together. And God's worked it out where we can get our chairs Friday, get our carpet. Just need to get it done. So the ferrets are sick tonight. Daniel is still sick. And just the flu.
Yeah, he is achy and he can't talk and everything.
And thank you for your help on Monday. And that was, we got a lot done. So anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
I've got prayers for my son and my grandson, Santo, to get a job. And then also for my twins, granddaughters, Serena and Rosa, that they might get saved.
Okay. Steve and Debbie, our neighbors, they need to get saved. And my cousin's wife, Candy Swope, they thought she had a gallstone, and so they went in and they were going to take it out, and then they came back and they said, we've seen some it's polyps and that we think is cancerous, and so they're really concerned about that. That's Steve's wife, so please, I told Steve that we would put her on the prayer list, but her name is Candy Swope. So please remember her. Yes?
What can you use?
I'm not mad at you because you're not selling. Have you got anybody interested at all?
Well, your wife or field model. But yeah, they're the 1 to 10s I fell through. They changed my life, different kind. Somebody else said 1 to 8 or 10, but they said that would be until maybe 2 weeks. That's about it.
We've sold somebody from Delano. They're going to put them in a coffee shop. Four, right?
Four,
five. So they're going to make a coffee shop and I'm just going to put them inside. So, but please, if you know anybody, I really don't want to take them to the dump. Pay the weight and stuff. So, but. Please pray that we can get rid of the pews. If not, we'll probably just have to set them back here under the awning until we can get rid of them. Yes, ma'am?
Would that home shop take them over there?
Habitat?
Yeah, Habitat.
I don't know.
They took the coffin. It was yours.
That's a good thought though. We might give them a call. So, but if anybody knows, just get the word out. And I mean, I'd rather give them away than have to pay the dump. We'll wait. So, but we did have them for 20 or 25.
Good candidates. So I've pointed out for like one for 25 and four more 20 piece, and we would deliver depending on location.
Well, I had them one for 20, two for 50, but no one's yes, ma'am.
Your cousin's wife's name, was it Candy or Candy?
Candy. Michael's oldest brother?
Yes.
Okay.
I need to have a prayer request for myself. I have a doctor's appointment on Monday for a specialist to see the abnormality that I have.
Okay.
So, a good outcome.
We're praying that they could find the problem. I think it's just above the shoulders. I do not like headaches. I don't know how you stand. Monty?
My friend from Minnesota has got problems with pregnancy. She has to have a stent put into her kidney. And that went okay. She's real sore, but now they got to take it out.
Okay.
Prayers for that. And then I found out this morning, my next door neighbor, her father's name is Gary, and apparently his kidneys are failing.
Okay. All right. So Monty's friend, also Brad Newman, is on hospice basically. They're not going to do anything with him or anything. So he came Sunday, but he's in a lot of pain.
Right. Yeah.
Sterling has been on our list for newborn. He's Josiah's age, but I guess he had E. coli, and then now they say he has celiac disease, but he's still, even with all the treatment, he's still just sick, like pretty much every week. Can't eat and can't keep food down.
He's a young man then?
Yeah, he's the same age as Josiah, I think. He's younger. He's a grade above him, but he's the same.
Yes, sir.
A friend of mine that I asked prayer for, Richard M. The specialist told him last week he didn't have cancer, but they need to check out his PSA levels, why it's so high. They don't know why, but to their knowledge, he didn't have cancer. And Shelly Bartelli, the cancer.
So that's good news on Richard, though. Praise the Lord.
And Shelly, I didn't tell you this yet. I talked to some people from Mueller the other day and asked how Shelly was doing. And I guess she's doing okay, and they're looking at doing a surgery in her future to help her out. She's been used to for some treatments and stuff yet, so sounds like so far she's doing okay with it.
Okay.
She is terminal.
All right. So pray for Shelly and Richard. All right. Yes, ma'am.
Bachman.
Okay.
Brother Bachman's niece's son, Henry. They finally got him surgery, got the tumor out. By the time they got the tumor out, they had that metastasized to his spine. And they said it's an aggressive cancer that he has because he has like an MYC mutation. So now they're looking at options and what to do next. He's not ready.
Oh, he's three.
And they said and then also his dad, he said today that they started talking to caseworkers with hospice because at this point, I think he said three of his vertebrae had deteriorated by now, which is putting pressure on his spine and putting off to his one of his organs and his legs and stuff like that. So he said, you're not going to be with us.
Yeah, Brother Bachman's a dear friend. And his
that's
wife.
His grandson?
That's his grandson? Henry is?
Henry is his niece's son.
Niece's.
They're missionaries. Yeah.
And his wife has been sick for years.
Yes.
Years. So. Yes, sir.
Yeah. But they're really, just going to hurt well.
Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
I have a praise report. I got news yesterday that Ann found a house.
Okay.
And she will move in on March 3rd.
Okay. How's your mom?
She's sick. She woke up this morning sick. Sore throat. My congestion is awful. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking I know
what
she's
finding. Mm-hmm. Probably who she was running around with. I saw her in a I'll tell you who that was. That's a lot like Lori. Anybody else? Pray for Darren. He's a year older. He's the same age as the pastor.
Yeah, that's older.
You're catching up.
Yes, sir.
I have a couple of her coworkers that are out there that I know we had before. One's in getting tested and stuff. He's like an 18-year-old that has cancer really bad. And it's also in his spine and doing all kinds of weird stuff. And so his mom is who works for me, and she's out on an LLA, so they're looking at possibly doing stem cell treatments. She's got to get tested, and you would have some stuff done as well.
Okay.
And then another lady I just found out. She's Hopi Indian, so she's probably not safe from what she was talking about. Not safe, but her nephew just passed away, and she's talking about all the things that they do, and I'm like, wow.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yes.
I have two. My friend at work, Brenda, she will be having her surgery on the 24th. And then my brother Daniel's going to have some testing done on Friday.
Great. Pray for the Corns. We did support them previous to COVID. during COVID, he went. Rented a house in Houston and went on staff at the church that where his parents go and everything, and so we dropped his support. But now that he's back on the road, we want to take him back on. And our mission treasurer said, "Well, nobody voted to dismiss him. Can we not take a vote to put him back?" But all in favor of taking Brother Corn back on support? All right, all in favor, raise your right hand. He was a blessing. He was a blessing.
And that was 75 a month.
75. But because he went on staff, then he got paid by the church, but now he's club office. And he's very appreciative to what we did for him, what you did for him. Love offering him, buying him a tire or whatever, really, really going to help. So. And I forgot where it was, his trailer. In the winter, it got, it was a brand new trailer, and it got damaged, and the insurance, of course, didn't want to pay everything, and so they still have issues with it. So just pray for them. So anything else? Okay, well, let's go to the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, God, come before you. Thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for our church and for what you've done in the last 70 years, and God, what you're going to do, and how you've worked things out, and put everything in plan and in motion. And God, I pray that you might give us physical strength and your wisdom on how to continue to put everything together and make it look as nice as possible, dear Father. Thank you for the people that have worked and people that have given, people that have supported. And God, we just pray that you just might continue to help us, God, that this church might represent how wonderful and great of God that you are and that we serve, and God, that you've provided, you've taken care of us, and God, you've been with us. And God, I pray that we might look for your wisdom. We might want the mind of God in our hearts and our minds and in our lives, not just for salvation, but for life. And so pray for all these on our list tonight, dear Father. It's a long list, and many of them are need your intervention and your help. And I think of our members, think for the Ferrets and Brother Daniel and others, dear Father, that just need your healing. But God, be with all these in a special way, that you just might heal their bodies. The little 3-year-old, dear Father, that you might put your hand upon him. And all these, God, that you might hear and answer our prayers. So take us from here and give us a good night and help us to have a good week. And looking forward to the day Sunday in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you so much. And if you can come and help tomorrow and Friday, that help would be appreciated.